This study is about, first of all, I have no relationships to disclose. Oh, the first slide is missed. There was, I'm sorry. I just wanted the first slide, it's an important one. Okay. The title is Effect of Child Labor Violations on Reported Injuries Among Working Youth, and these are results from school-based surveys. I wish to acknowledge my colleagues, Dr. Michael Bolling from UNC Chapel Hill and University of North Carolina, and Thomas Harris, who is with the North Carolina Employees Association and former director of the Wage and Hour Division in the Department of Labor in North Carolina. The funding for this study came from NIOSH, an R01 grant, to the Injury Prevention Research Center at UNC Chapel Hill, where I used to work before joining Duke. Notice here I have a picture of teenagers working on roofs. And the reason I chose this picture is because in this sample, we had 327 teens who worked on roofing operations, particularly putting together shingles on roofs, which is an illegal one. And even though, you know, some roofing operations are permitted, but this particular activity is prohibited. This was 20% of the sample, a high percentage. The objectives of the study, as mentioned here, is to see the relationships between socioeconomic variables, hazardous order violations, hour violations, and reported injuries among adolescents. This is important because it has implications for policies for regulatory agencies, also for teachers and those who issue work permits at the local level. Also the implications, because we looked at socio-demographic variables, there are implications for targeting safety interventions at subpopulations at risk of injuries. We surveyed 32 schools in North Carolina and South Carolina. Multi-stage cluster sampling was used. I won't go into details here, but it was a random sampling. The grades of the students were from 10, 11, and 12, and so the range of ages was from 14 to 18, I'm sorry. This focused on non-agricultural employment. So the domestic and agricultural employment was excluded. A questionnaire, 15 to 20 minute questionnaire was surveyed, and we had a team of 12 data collectors who were very well trained before they surveyed the students. Those students who did not work only filled socio-demographic variables. We had a fairly high response rates, and we used the CASRO definition. So we got ranges that ranged from 73, 74% to about 91%. We did it separately for each state. So we had a total of 1,655 teens who worked in any job during the 2 years before the study. Just to touch briefly on the characteristics of the sample, the urban were about 41%. Males and females were almost equal in number. With regard to race, we had whites 58%, African Americans 30%, and the rest other. The age when started working, 61% of the teens 61% of the teens started working at the age of 16 or older. And the majority of the students were grades 11 and 12 that worked. So with regard to mother and father education, the mothers had a higher level of education, slightly higher, and we used it as a proxy for socioeconomic status. The employment of the mother and father were the same. Just consistent with other studies, the teens worked in multiple jobs. 41% worked in multiple jobs. Just like the national survey figures, 79% worked during the school year. And about 57% were working at the time of the survey. about 11% of the teens worked in family-owned businesses. The types of jobs, they were very similar to the figures by the current population surveys. Mostly they worked in services, food services in particular. Cashiers and sales were 24%, and laborers, unskilled labor, and transportation, 10% of the teens worked in these type of jobs. This pie chart just shows the distribution of employed youth by occupation, and the figures were, even though the sample is not really representative, it was part of a larger comparative study, but the figures, because of the sampling procedure, we had figures very, very similar to those of the current population survey. Okay. So we were not able to do adjusted odds ratios because of the multiple factors that had to be adjusted and the number of injuries. However, we did look at the unadjusted odds ratios. And if you look here at the sociodemographic variables, the gender, consistent with other studies, the males were much higher than females to have injuries. Unlike what was reported in the previous study, family businesses, they had higher injury rates. So the odds ratio was 3-3. So really, in this particular study, it was a risk factor if the teen worked in a family-owned business. The work duration, even though it was not significant at the 0.01 level, it was still significant at the 0.06 level. So the teens who worked in rural environment, they were at a slightly higher risk. When looking at the hazardous order violations, out of the 18 hazardous order violations, we selected certain number because of the frequency of exposure. So we selected the ones that were most frequently reported and the illegal ones. So the teens who operated power tools or appliances were almost three times more likely to suffer an injury. Using a power saw, working in demolition crew, using a forklift, and power nails, staple guns. These hazardous orders or illegal tasks, they are a risk for teenagers. If you look at the power door and box crusher and power slicer or grinder, we did not find any significant differences. Looking at the work hour violations and reported injuries, the questions were very specific with regard to the labor laws. So we did the analysis mostly for those under 16 because the labor laws with regard to work hours apply for teens under 16. However, we did look at the restriction for teens working after 11 p.m. And we found that the teens were almost two times more likely to suffer injuries when they worked after 11 p.m. All the other work hour violations pertain to teens under 16. So working more than 8 hours on a weekend day, working more than 40 hours on a non-school week, and working more than 18 hours per week during a school week, all these were high risks for teens. And I will talk a little bit about the injuries. The reason I do not have a slide on injuries is because in my previous presentation using this same study, I did talk about injuries. But I would like to talk very briefly here. The types of injuries that were found in this study, and in particular with regards to violations, were working in food services, services in general, but particularly in food services. These were the workplaces, working in construction industries, and working in land mowing operations, land mowing and landscaping, not on an individual level, but working with a company. And also the recreation facilities. So you had four workplaces, and it is the same story. When we looked at each of these violations, we did look at the types of injuries, the workplace, and looked at details, and the same story. You find the construction, food services are really the major hazardous environments. We also looked at family businesses, and we saw that the family businesses really should be targeted because in this particular study, in a published study, we saw that the teens that worked in family-owned businesses were much less likely to have safety training. They were also much less likely to be informed of child labor laws. And we did look at it in the safety training was not only yes or no. We looked at the adequacy of training as well. Okay, just to talk, so basically, the hazardous order violations and our violations are indeed associated with reported injuries. And these are consistent with previous findings, especially with regard to the number of hours worked per week. The national study of parents and teens, 39% of teens worked more than 20 hours per week in the national study, for which I had a major part in developing the instrument in that study. So this basically replicates the findings. Gender is associated with injuries, and small businesses, family-owned businesses. Also, family-owned businesses and small businesses were, there were studies by Ceruda et al. In which he talked about fatal injuries. So family businesses are really, they should really be targeted in interventions. In this study, the age was not associated with injuries. The older males were just at the same risk as the younger males. And basically, because the older males, when we looked at details, they were engaged in much high-risk exposures. So the expectations of these older teens were very high. The limitations of the study, as I mentioned before, this was part of a larger comparative study. However, because of the sampling procedure and the random sampling, the results may be generalizable. Self-report, we always have the recall bias problem. Of course, one major limitation is agricultural employment was excluded, and we all know that agricultural employment, the fatal injuries and the serious injuries, and the majority of injuries are in agricultural employment. But the reason they were excluded because we studied the child labor laws, and these particular set of laws applied to non-agricultural employment. So another limitation is that the school dropouts were not represented because this was a school-based survey. And there was a study by Bresnan et al. In which a Canadian study in which he talked about school dropouts. The kids who were out of school were at much higher risk. The kids that were working and were out of school were at much higher risk of injury than working teens who were still in school. So this is a limitation of the study that the school dropouts were not included. Okay, recommendations. Clearly, the stricter enforcement of labor laws by regulatory agencies. And we all know, like in July of this year, there were new penalties. So it's very good that the regulatory agencies implement these new laws and increasing penalties for child labor violations. Also, in a previously published study using the same data of this study, we showed that work permit systems lacked, they were not protective of work hour violations, but they were protective of hazardous order violations. And the study is in North Carolina. So basically, if the work permit systems can be revised so that it is a requirement in the application to screen for work hours, so the employer would include work hours in the work permit. And the parents and schools should also monitor the number of hours worked. Here, I just want to throw how important the developmental perspective with regard to injury prevention. Injury prevention strategies should be at all levels. If they are to be successful, a good model would be the bioecological framework by Bronfen Brenner. And so we really want to target interventions, even though we're talking about labor laws at the policy level, we should look at all levels, level of the individual, or what we call the proximal levels. So because the teens interact with their peers, with their teachers, parents, employers, And so it's very important to study those interactions, because those in turn affect higher levels, the levels of the community, the culture at large. And so we cannot just focus on individual interventions, neither can we just focus on policies at the large level, because the policies at the large levels, if they are not implemented at the lower levels, parents, teachers, employers, peers, then they're not going to be effective. So it's very, very important to look at the developmental perspective when we are addressing injury prevention and the risks to teenagers. Clearly, it's important that adequate safety training, supervision, and use of personal protective devices in the workplace. And the injury prevention strategies in the workplace, they should be sensitive to the development of the teenager. The cognitive, social, and physical development, we all know that teens undergo rapid growth. And so this very rapid linear growth in their physical development causes them to suffer injuries. The same with neural development. The brain, as you know, it's not fully developed at the age of 3. All the recent studies, the past 10 years actually, have been talking about neurodevelopmental approaches, and the brain is, this all affects injuries because the teenagers are given tasks that are beyond their cognitive capability. So it's very important to be very sensitive to all these developments that happen to the teenagers, you know, at all levels. Cognitive, social, and physical development. And actually, in this study, you know, the types of injuries, like we had back pain, children who worked, teens who worked more than 18 hours, we had reports of back pain, sprained ankles, broken bones, and this is part because they are developmentally, at the physical level, they didn't reach it, and the expectations are really so much higher. Also because of thrill taking, you know, teenagers, they are sensation seeking, and partly because their brain is not fully developed. It's, you know, they think that they can handle the risks when they are not really physically, they are grown up, but developmentally their brain is not yet, their emotional and their cognitive regulation is still not fully developed. So it's very important that all this is addressed in prevention strategies so that the employers do not give tasks that are not appropriate to the teenagers. Many times when looking at this data, the tasks are not compatible. One example is the roofing operations and the heights they're working at, equipment that is not designed for their small bodies. Weight is also associated with injuries, but I'm not going to go about talking about that. But actually, the teens that have low weight, it is associated with higher injury, especially when they are driving big equipment. And just implied the health safety training and education on labor laws and legal rights. Thank you.